you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey, fellow law entrepreneurs, jumping in early on this episode to make a little quick announcement and a thank you. So this week I learned that lawyerist.com, which is one of the biggest blogs in the legal space, if you're not reading Lawyerist on a regular basis, you're missing out. But they just came out with their top 10 podcasts, legal podcasts for 2019. And guess what? We were on it. So to say that I'm excited and humbled is an understatement. It really means a lot to me. And I'm just shocked, frankly, that after 3 years, this is where we are with this podcast. And I want to just take a couple of moments to thank a few people that maybe you haven't heard of, but really make this podcast possible. One is Jeff Woods. Now, Jeff is the vice president of The One Thing. He's also the host of the popular podcast by the same name, The One Thing. And I worked with Jeff right in the very beginning, or he worked with me and helped me get this off the ground. And he was instrumental in shaping the focus of the podcast. And in fact, he wrote the introduction you just heard. So to Jeff, I want to thank you publicly for all that you did to get this started. And the other folks are those at Crate Media. They're my producers out in Ohio under the direction of Cody Boyce. And Cody and his guys, gals, but specifically Hayden Lee and Ben Gregson, make me sound much better than I have any right to sound. And I think that contributes to the listenability of the podcast for sure. And obviously, I want to thank my friends and family for their support and dedication to help me make sure that we do this on a weekly basis, because sometimes the world has to stop really around my house while we record the podcast. So I'm grateful for my wife and all of her support, Noelle. But mostly, I want to thank you, the listeners, because and subscribers, because you know you're what makes it happen. And somebody like lawyerist.com would not even pay attention to this podcast if there weren't a ton of you folks out there listening and subscribing on a regular basis. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And I hope to live up to your expectations and your support for another 3 years or so. So thanks again. And if you want, check the show notes. We'll have a link to the blog post on lawyerist.com, and you can see the other entrants in the list of the best podcasts for 2019 and give them a listen as well. Okay. And now on to the show. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 168 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyree, your host, as usual. Today, I have a guest who's local here to the Washington, D.C. area, Christy Zlatkus. Christy is a family law attorney who's relatively new to a solo practice. She's not a new family law attorney. She's done that for about a decade or so now, but new to solo practice. And interestingly, she asserts, and I suppose I will take her at her word, she asserts that listening to The Law Entrepreneur was largely responsible for getting her prepared and ready to open her own practice. And so she's done very well in the time that she's been open under her own name, and has a really interesting approach to creating an environment and a type of practice in the family law space that I think bodes well for her continued success. You're going to hear her talk about the environment that her office has created to support family law practice, and how she staffed it with a PhD to help in family conflict resolution and support, as well as her approach itself to changing the narrative on how family law and divorce in particular is discussed. So it's a really interesting conversation. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. And without any further delay, here's Christy Zlatkis. Christy Zlatkis, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I am thrilled that you're here today, a local family law attorney with a lot of lessons to be learned here in a short period of time. Christy, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Sure. My name is Christy Zlatkis. I grew up outside of Philadelphia, came down here to go to the University of Maryland for undergrad, stayed for law school at the George Washington University, and have hung around here ever since. I now have been practicing family law for approximately 10 years.
Excellent.
And it's what I always wanted to do, so I feel like I have the best job in the world.
Great. Did you know you want to be a family law attorney when you went to law school?
I absolutely did.
Really? What motivated you?
A combination of family issues, along with seeing some of my friends whose parents went through divorce. I felt very strongly drawn to helping families and making a difference in the narrative surrounding divorce.
You know, when I went to law school, I really thought I was going to go into the state's attorney's office and put bad guys in jail because there was no shortage of clients. And then when I transitioned into family law, I realized, you know, here again, there's no shortage of clients for different reasons. But every family is unique, every family is different, every family situation is personal. And so it does create for an interesting, you know, practice.
It definitely does. You never come to work and have the same day twice. And that's one of my favorite things about family law.
Yeah, I think it gets a bad rap in a lot of circles, you know, when you tell somebody you're a family law attorney, they go, oh my God, how can you stand doing that? And, you know, while I'm no longer doing family law as much as I used to, it's not because I didn't like the law. I liked the law. I thought it was interesting. I thought the cases were interesting. It's just, you know, I had other reasons. What you said you were drawn to helping people and just the whole dynamics of family law. What is there anything specific about the caseload that you like or you're particularly drawn to?
Well, for me, it's, you know, the exact thing that you just said. People, you tell them that you're in family law or that you're a divorce attorney and you just get this look of horror, you know, on their faces. Right. If it's not something that they also love. And what I have been working really hard to do and what I'm really passionate about is changing the narrative around divorce. You know, everybody has this narrative around divorce of a marriage failed or a very big stigma around divorced women and divorced men. And it just doesn't have to be that way. Divorce can be the start of a new normal and marriages don't fail, they end. And it's really important to me and to my staff that we share that message with our clients.
I think that's really important because a lot of times, you know, the negative connotation is the one that gets the most play. And, you know, I've had lots of divorces and lots of custody actions where at the end of the day, people act like adults and they move on with their lives. And, you know, it's not necessarily a happy ending, but it's certainly not War of the Roses. And I think you're to be commended for, you know, striving to change that narrative because it does need changing.
We agree here at my law firm. It absolutely does need changing.
Yeah, you know, the other thing that kind of interests me, this is kind of a tangent, is, you know, there's a number of attorneys advocating on behalf specifically of fathers and stressing, you know, fathers' rights in the divorce process. And of course, there's a big national firm that has a local presence here in the Washington, D.C. area that advertises on radio a lot that built their entire national practice on the idea of father's rights in divorce law. How do you feel about that issue?
Well, in our firm, we view parents as parents.
Yeah.
I don't think that somebody being a mother or a father or having a specific gender identity or even, you know, different sexual orientation or anything like that changes whether or not they're a good parent. You know, at the end of the day, there are so many different ways that somebody can be a good parent. It's interesting that you mentioned that specific law firm without saying it by name. Our client relations director, who is a woman, went to them, even though they're a father's rights firm. And she went to them on my recommendation because there are some fantastic attorneys there. But even though they advertised themselves as father's rights and looking out for father's rights, they did a great job with her case. And we like to say that, again, parents are parents. It doesn't matter the rest of it.
Yeah, I get it as a marketing tool in terms of trying to niche down your audience to advocate on behalf of a specific subset. But it's, again, raising that negative connotation and that stereotypical viewpoint of what the court does vis-a-vis mom versus dad, and whether or not that narrative is accurate. Because in my experience, it has not been.
I would say I'd have the same experience as you. I've gotten a few different dads' custody and certainly mom's custody as well. And we're lucky to be here in the DC area. And I predominantly practice in Montgomery County, and our judges do an excellent job of seeing parents as parents.
Yeah, I think the court in general does a good job. It's just one of my pet peeves, you know, when we talk about the issue of family law and changing the narrative. That's one area that has always concerned me. So let's talk about your practice specifically. A couple of things. You're relatively new to solo practice. You were working with another firm when you got out of law school?
When I got out of law school, I did a 2-year clerkship in Prince George's County with the Honorable Sherry L. Krauser. I then did some brief work where I was contracting to a few different family law firms until I finally settled at a local family law firm where I spent 7 years before deciding to go solo.
And what motivated you to start your solo practice?
I really wanted to practice in my own way. I wanted to create more of a holistic practice. I have nothing but the best things to say about the firm that I came from. They're some of the best people on earth. But more of that changing the narrative and getting the opportunity to do some of the things that I've gotten to do here really is what drove me to kind of get the chance to be the captain of my own ship.
Yeah, you know, whenever you work in somebody else's firm, if you have that desire to recast the argument or to redefine the image of a family law attorney, you're working upstream because there's momentum created by an existing firm and its partners and its associates, and it's sometimes hard to get that ship to steered in a different direction or a slightly different direction, whereas on your own, obviously, that's not the case. And for a lot of people, that is the kind of thing that draws them to a solo practice.
It's definitely what drew me.
Yeah, exactly. So you start off, let's talk about the mechanics of how you started your practice. Did you have a long runway preparing for it? Did you knew you're going to leave the firm and start your own practice, or did you leap off the diving board and look to see if there was water in the pool afterwards?
Not so much of a leaper, Neil. I am definitely a planner and I plan everything down to a T. I actually worked with the partners of my former law firm. We had a very long transition plan. I was very lucky to be able to take one of my closest friends and also my paralegal, Megan, with me. So we worked very hard to give me about a 2.5-month notice to them. And then she stayed for another 2 months so that the transition would be very smooth for that firm. Again, we love them. We have nothing but good things to say about them. So, sure. You know, we took our time with it. But when I transitioned, my last day at that firm was October 31st. And November 1st, I was in my own space.
Did you take clients with you? A book of clients?
I did. I was very lucky to be able to do so.
Okay. So you were able to hit the ground running with a workload.
Yes.
And what was your kind of decision philosophy or process with respect to where you were going to practice and how your office was going to be set up and where you were going to be located and that kind of thing?
So I'm located right near the courthouse in Montgomery County, near the Ruffell Town Center. My thought process was pretty simple. Cost, location. Cost was a big one, but I wanted to be able to walk back and forth to the courthouse. This is very important both for my clients as well as for getting clients. I'm also very active in the Montgomery County Bar Foundation CLE committee. I'm actually one of the co-chairs. And so getting back and forth to be able to do these CLEs was also something very important to me. So found office space. I got to have all the fun of picking out the colors and the art and all of those things. And I think that that is really important. I worked really hard to design my office to feel like you were walking into a high-end. Not to say that it's a high-end office, but, you know, the little things. We have a water fountain. We have salt rocks. We have aromatherapy. We have very soothing images on the walls. The idea being that the people who come to us are very, very stressed out. We want them to walk into our office and feel like it's a place they can relax. And also one of the big things that was important for me was having an office big enough to have a couch. I do mediation, parenting coordination, as well as meeting with my clients. And a lot of these meetings happen on the couch. And you'd be really surprised how much more a client will tell you when they're comfortable with a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and telling you what's going on in their case when they're relaxed, as opposed to sitting across a desk in a more formal setting.
Well, I think for certain that's the case, because you remove, just as you said, that physical barrier that is artificial and doesn't always, you know, it's not intended to mean there's a distance between you and me, but by definition, when you have a table between the two of you, there is a separation, there is a distinct difference there. And so for the look and feel that you're trying to go for, you know, an open space and a couch with a cup of tea, and sounds perfect.
That's what we're looking for.
Yeah. Now, do you find, you know, there's a debate back and forth about whether or not clients are receptive to or responsive to the office environment, or whether they really don't care and they're just looking for quality legal representation. Obviously, given that you've gone in the direction of outfitting your space the way you have, you tend to think more along the former rather than the latter, that environment does create an advantage for you and is pleasing for your clients. Is that correct?
Oh, I absolutely do.
Yep. Does that also influence how you've staffed the office? Because I want to, you know, bring to the point, as you mentioned, Elizabeth, your partner there in crime, who is not a legal professional, but is a professional in a different area. And how did that work?
She is. So Dr. Elizabeth Deggy Dubois, she has a PhD in conflict analysis and a resolution focus on gender-based violence. She has spent the last 10 years studying violence in relationships, studying marriage everywhere from Cambodia to Baltimore to all over the globe. And she brings a unique perspective to our practice because she is, in fact, divorced. And I actually quarterbacked her divorce. So I've also known Elizabeth for 13 years.
So that is an extraordinary distinction.
Yes.
In your practice, in your firm, because, geez, I know a lot of family law firms in and around this area. I don't know anybody who employs, a psychiatrist as part of the team.
Well, she's not a psychiatrist, so she does it, her PhD again is in conflict analysis, so it's not a psychology degree. That's okay. I just wanted to make sure that is clear. But what she brings to the table is absolutely invaluable. She is able to hold our clients' hands, to explain to them the process, to be that first person that they talk to. She also is very influential in helping us get out our message that, provide courage and clarity to our clients, to provide that empathy and to make sure that our clients, from the time that they're getting those gentle invitations to our office to the time that they're leaving our office, that they feel supported and encouraged and empowered and uplifted the entire time.
Well, it's an extraordinarily, as I said, forward-looking approach to providing this holistic kind of service that you're talking about. Because, you know, one of the criticisms that you always hear when you talk to other family law attorneys is at least half the time the attorneys are saying, if I could, you know, my clients seem to want, you know, a conflict resolution professional, you know, somebody to hold their hand and walk them through the issues of the conflict. And I'm just here to really to practice law. So I don't want to be a counselor. But you've got a professional built into the infrastructure of your firm to provide, in part, that kind of service.
Absolutely. We believe that taking care of emotions is a good litigation strategy. When people have reached their emotional equilibrium, they can make better decisions about settlement. They're better about providing discovery. They're more clear on the stand. And don't get me wrong, there's a very big difference between a divorce coach and a therapist, and we will certainly refer people to those professionals when they need to have it. But that emotional equilibrium and that empathy is something that they're looking for in their attorney's office. If they don't feel like their attorney's office really understands where they're coming from, how can they trust what you're telling them to do? When you're saying go do A, B, or C, if in their head they're thinking, well, this person doesn't even know my situation, this person doesn't understand, they're not likely to do A, B, or C. But if they feel heard, if they feel supported, if they walk out of our office feeling, you know, each time they come in, feeling like they've learned something, like they understand the process better, and they have a clear path of what they should do, what needs to be done, and what the next step is, then they're more likely to follow the advice for A, B, and C, and they're more likely to walk out happier.
Today, I'd like to introduce a new sponsor to The Law Entrepreneur, and that's the folks at Jurisdiction. You started your law practice to ditch the firm life and be your own boss, but your practice is running you. The good news, being an attorney entrepreneur doesn't have to be this hard. Jesse and Megan, the lawpreneurs behind Jurisdiction, are working to build a new generation of solo practitioners who love being lawyers. This year, Jurisdiction is introducing a new program, Next Level Law Practice. Next Level Law Practice is a rigorous training program that provides the tools and business fundamentals for estate planning attorneys to start and grow a profitable and streamlined legal business. Next Level Law Practice gives you access to videos, worksheets, templates, one-on-one coaching, and live group sessions that allow you to ask questions and learn on your own schedule. To learn more about the program, visit thrivejd.com. That's thrivejd.com. They're even offering an exclusive coupon code for the Law Entrepreneur listeners. Just enter the code TLE150, that's like the Law Entrepreneur 150, for a $150 discount off your course registration. And welcome to the show, Jurisdiction. Support for today's episode comes from Ruby Receptionists, dedicated to helping you grow your practice one happy caller at a time. From their offices in Portland, Oregon, Ruby's live remote receptionists create an exceptional experience for your callers by answering calls live with your custom greeting, delighting callers in English or Spanish, transferring calls, taking messages, collecting new client intake, and much more. Just like an in-house receptionist at a fraction of the cost. For 15 years, Ruby has been turning rings into relationships. For more information, call 844-895-7829 or visit callruby.com/lawentrepreneur. Well, it's a really interesting staffing approach. Like I said, I don't know anybody else in all the firms that I've, you know, contacted, you know, through this podcast and then through my own practice. I don't know anybody else doing that. I mean, they may be providing that service ad hoc and outsourcing it to a trusted professional that they work with, but not somebody who's, you know, essentially on the letterhead. So I think it's really interesting, and I'm really anxious to follow your success to see, you know, how this works for you, whether that becomes something of the norm in other firms, because I think you're a trendsetter in that regard.
Thank you. I hope it becomes the norm. I think it's a good practice.
Yeah, well, obviously it's meaningful and provides value for your clients, and it's working for you. Now, through this process, then you started with a book of clients, and I'm certain that there's some referral activity that goes on with successfully servicing those clients. How else are you going about generating new referrals into the firm?
So we have an internal marketing strategy that I think is a little different. Maybe it's not. This is the first time that I've truly marketed a firm. And as we've mentioned, my firm's in its infancy. But we are trying to get referrals through storytelling. There are some amazing attorneys out there with some really great blogs that have lots of information. John Weaver has his Master Weaver's Toolbox. Sure. And, you know, a lot of other great professionals that they have the nuts and bolts or here's some updates. Lindsay Parvis is constantly doing her, you know, here are these legislative updates. And those are all fantastic. But that's being done. And what we're not seeing is a lot of storytelling. We posted something yesterday for Father's Day that says, one day you will tell your story of how you've overcome what you're going through now, and it will become part of someone else's survival guide. And that is our marketing strategy. So how are we executing that? We are having what we call wellness nights. We've already had one. It's called Keeping Your Balance Through Your Breakup. We had people in the community come. It was free. We did a half an hour of gentle yoga put on by one of my clients, my former clients, who is now a private yoga instructor. And then we did 60 minutes of talking through divorce and custody, not anybody's individual cases, but what does the process look like and how do you take care of yourself? So of course, I gave some information. We had Elizabeth give some information. And then we had a naturopathic doctor give some information about taking care of your physical health. We have our next one coming up actually in July. So we're going to keep that going. Elizabeth and I are also contributing authors for Worthy.com. Worthy.com is, if you don't know, it's an online retailer where you can sell your engagement ring. They also have a fantastic blog section and podcast and a lot of outreach primarily to women about getting through divorce.
Interesting.
So, you know, we were thinking about it and we were thinking about it through, you know, Elizabeth's divorce. When she was going through divorce, how do you find an attorney? Well, okay, search attorney and people are everywhere. But where was she looking for the courage and the hope? And the places that she was looking for the courage and the hope were blogs like Worthy, were online Facebook groups, and we're also admins for a couple of those. You know, she was looking for different stories about women who survived to divorce. And we realized that by bringing those stories to our own C Family Laws blog, as well as through Worthy, we could maybe reach some of those people where they are.
Yeah, it's really content marketing. But the slant to the content is not necessarily just the provision of information. It's telling that compelling story. And there's a lot to be said for storytelling as a marketing approach. And frankly, when you think about it, when two people get together over any kind of issue or at any type of gathering, you know, pretty soon the conversation evolves into, let me tell you this story about what happened. That's how we communicate, is through stories. And we like to listen to uplifting stories and educational stories. And sometimes we can identify with the person who's sharing, you know, a heart-wrenching story. And it's that kind of communication that I think provides an insight to your potential clients as to who you are and what you're all about. And that's valuable. That brings value to your marketing endeavors because people are looking at it and saying, I know, like, and trust this person. I really like, think I can do business with them.
And that's what we're going for. And, you know, Neil, one of the hardest things that I have done as a professional is put my own story of heartbreak out there. It was one of the first blog posts that we ever did, and I wrote it, and I wrote how I survived it, and pressing send was really hard. I had Elizabeth and my paralegal and very good friend, Megan, with me as I took a deep breath and pressed send, but I wanted my clients and potential clients to know I'd been there too, yeah. And I'd hoped that that would be a way of them getting to know me.
Yeah. And it's hard. You know, there's a balance there. I know lots of attorneys are hesitant or concerned about sharing too much personal information. On the other hand, if you're not viewed as a relatable human, it's hard to attract clients. And particularly in this type of practice area, I mean, you're really dealing with people's emotions and their mental well-being, and they want to look to someone that they can relate to. And so I think you have a compelling story, as you said, yourself to tell there, and you're amplifying it through the work that you're doing on worthy.com and your Facebook groups. Now, are these your own Facebook groups that you're moderating, or are these
existing women in divorce groups?
Yeah. How did you get involved with those?
Actually, through our partners with Worthy. Uh-huh. They have been fantastic with us, and they have a few going.
They invited you to participate as a moderator?
Yep.
Well, that's really interesting.
It's a great way to get things out there. And certainly commenting, you don't want to be careful not to cross that line of giving legal advice, but
sure.
You can point people in the right direction, or point people to a blog article either that you wrote or that someone else wrote of here's a way to get through that.
Well, it certainly gives you social proof of your credentials, and it also provides a great opportunity to be viewed and to come to be known as an expert in the field. So I can see how that's something very valuable.
That's what we hope. And yeah. Also, I would be remiss if I didn't also mention that in addition to sharing my own story, both Megan, my paralegal, and Elizabeth, our client relations director, have been so brave in sharing their own stories with divorce. Elizabeth going through her own, Megan being a child of divorce. And we've, without giving lots of personal details, because we absolutely appreciate the difference between a personal detail and a here's how I emotionally survived this. But they've also been very brave and put their stories out on our blog. And our clients come in and having read them and feeling like they know us.
Yeah.
And that's been kind of cool.
Well, that's interesting. It's really, I wish you a lot of success with that. It sounds like you are really branching out and doing some really interesting things with your firm. What role does technology play?
Technology plays a huge role in our firm.
How so?
Well, I came from a firm, and again, I love them, but some of their technology was on the older side. And so Megan and I, who came from that, were really excited to upgrade to a client management system and a case management system that made a lot more sense for us. So I'm an unabashed Clio fan. I think that Clio is one of the best softwares out there. And we're also participants using Clio Grow, which is their new client intake system.
Right.
And our clients love it. They have their portal, they have their emails, they have all the links, they have their case dates on there. And especially the clients that came with me are just ecstatic.
Do you also do your billing through Clio?
I do my billing through Clio, document management. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a really fine program and or platform. And all firms, I think, who use, well, I shouldn't say that. A lot of firms couldn't live without Clio. Once they start using that platform, they find it hard to go elsewhere.
Yeah, well, we love it. And perfect. The other piece of software that we think is fantastic is RingCentral. It is a voice over IP phone system, but they also have an app. It has allowed Megan and Elizabeth and I to work remotely, to have team meetings, to for me to do video conferencing consults with my clients. Not every client can take off in the middle of the day to come in and see you, but they might be able to take their lunch break and have a video call with you.
Exactly. Yeah, I like Ring Central's lovely. I mean, a lot of people have nothing but positive things to say about that. And what about your physical location? I know, I think I saw, maybe it was on your website, you have two physical locations?
So right now we have one in Rockville. For a time we were space sharing in Frederick, but we're taking some time off from that and I'm going to revisit that.
Okay.
For now, we have a space here in Rockville, like I said, right near the Rockville Town Center. We're about a block and a half away from the courthouse. And it's a beautiful office space where we have lots of light. We can see trees. There are windows upon windows. And it almost makes it feel like you're working in a treehouse. Right. Really like.
Well, there was a time when firms would have multiple satellite offices and one main office and some smaller satellite offices at near other courthouse jurisdictions and that thing, kind of thing. But I think the role of technology today and the ability to be able to work remotely for so many people. I think that's kind of done away with remote, the satellite office in most firms, because it's just an expense that a solo finds hard to justify.
Yeah, I think that we came to that conclusion.
Yeah. Well, listen, Christy, this has been terrific. I'm really thankful that you could spend some time with us today. Tell our audience how they might go about reaching out to you if they want to follow up on anything that you've talked about.
Our website is www.zfamilylaw.com. You can find us on Twitter. Our handle is zfamilylaw. We have a Facebook page, and I personally can be reached at Christy@zfamilylaw.com. We'd certainly love to hear from any of you. And if anyone has any questions about how we're trying to do our storytelling or about our holistic practice, I'm certainly happy to talk to anybody.
Well, that's awesome. We'll try and include all those points in our show notes so that if you're driving or on the treadmill, you don't have to get off or stop. And we'll have that for you when the show goes is live. So, Christy, thanks ever so much for taking time to be with us today on The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you so much, Neil.
Well, that will do it for today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I'd like to thank our sponsors for making this show possible, the good folks at Call Ruby Receptionists, and our newest sponsor, Jurisdiction, the providers of the Next Level Law Practice Program. So take a moment to visit our show notes and hop on over to their websites for special discounts and savings and other free stuff that you can get, and just support them because they make this podcast possible day in and day out. Also, if you got a couple minutes, pop on over to our own website, thelawentrepreneur.com. We have a couple little articles there. You can also listen to the podcast itself there if you choose to. And sign up for our newsletter or our mailing list. And we don't do a lot. You know, you're not going to bombard you with emails every week. And I do plan on doing a few more this year, but we'd love to have you join our community. And in that sense, you can also go on to our Facebook page. You can find us just by searching on The Law Entrepreneur. You can find out what we got going on a daily basis, sometimes hourly, on the Facebook page. So I'd love to have you join us there. And if you have the time, last but not least, go on over to iTunes, search on The Law Entrepreneur. And if it's something that you believe in and feel strongly about, we'd love for you to leave an honest 5-star review, as well as comments about what you like and dislike about the show, because it does mean a lot to us that you are our community, our listeners, and I want to thank you for making this all possible. So we'll see you next time on The Law Entrepreneur.